Father in heaven, we just bow before your throne of grace and rejoice in the celebration of Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins, the one who rose again from the dead for our justification, the one who is seated at your right hand right now interceding for us so that we may be saved to the uttermost. We thank you that you have also given us your Holy Spirit in fulfillment of your promise to send him to us. And Father, we thank you that even as we celebrated in worship, we want to celebrate in the Word, because your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Father, remove me from the stage and let Christ be the one at the center stage, speaking by his Spirit to our hearts to accomplish his purpose, even this morning, for the glory of your name. These things we pray in the blessed and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you think about your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, what do you think is more important to God? What does God treasure about your life? What does he treasure most about your life? Is it the college degrees attached to your name? Is it how talented you are? Is it how gifted you are? Is it the skills and abilities you have? Is it your accomplishments and achievements in life? Is it your career in life? Or is it the class you belong to in society? Or is it the color of your skin? Some of these questions may seem trivial to us, but you won't believe how many people seriously think that these are the things more important to God and to themselves. Is it how fancy a car you drive and how beautiful and well-kept your house is? Is it the number of messages you preach or the number of people you talk to about Jesus? Is it how many Bible studies you lead in your home or in some other place? Or is it the positions and titles you hold in a mission organization or a church ministry? Or is it the number of years you serve on a mission or a church board? Is it the number of mission trips you go on? Is it the more ministry opportunities you desire and want to have in life? Are these the things which are more important to God about your life as a believer in Jesus Christ? Are these the things that interest God the most about your life as the one whom he has saved from sin? Or is there something about your life as a child of God that is more important to him than all the things I've just mentioned? If there is such a thing, what is it? I want to know, and I hope you also want to know. Well, what I want to talk about this morning as we continue our study in Acts answers our questions. In other words, the main idea of my message this morning is simply this. Listen carefully. God is more interested. God is more concerned about your character as a believer in Jesus Christ than he is about your career and accomplishment in life. In other words, God is more interested in your manner of life as a true child of God than he is about your many achievements and accomplishments in life. Your manner of life as a child of God is more important to him than your mighty accomplishments. Well, our passage of study this morning is Acts chapter 6, verse 8. So will you please listen carefully as I read the word of the Lord. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This morning I would like us to look closely at what the Bible says about Stephen's life. We learn from his short life that God's greatest goal for your life and my life as a believer in Jesus Christ is the development and building of your character into Christ-likeness. God actually also revealed this in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, as his ultimate goal for those who are his children. If you like, please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Let me read from verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now listen carefully to verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That is God's ultimate goal for your life as a believer and my life as a believer. And it is my prayer that God would deeply impress this single most important truth on your heart as well as on my heart. God's greatest purpose for your life is to form the very character of Jesus Christ in you and in me as believers in him. In Acts chapter 6, we are introduced to a man named Stephen. The amazing thing about his introduction to us is that, listen, God said to us more about Stephen's character than his accomplishments, which I call his charismatic works. So this morning, I would like us to look at two things about Stephen's life as set forth in Acts chapter 6. First, his character before God and before man. Second, his charismatic works in the Holy Spirit. God willing, next week, we shall look at two more lessons about his life, namely his confidence in the midst of fierce opposition and his countenance before the council, that is the Supreme Court of Israel. So the title of my message today is Stephen, the man filled with the fullness of God. That is what you are going to see in the passage we are studying this morning. So the first point of my message has to do with Stephen's character before God and before men. Actually, Stephen's name means, in the Greek, crown, Stephanos. This name is appropriate for Stephen because he was the first to wear the martyr's crown. So we are going to look at the character of one whose name means crown. Combining verses 3, 5, and 8, six things are said about Stephen's character, and that is what we will look at closely today. Verse 3 of Acts chapter 6, and verse 5 and verse 8 said six things about the character of Stephen. First, in verse 3, we read in the NASB, it says, "But select from among you, brethren or brothers, seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." So the first character trait we see about Stephen's life is that he was a man of good reputation. That speaks of what? His integrity, his honesty. When the believers spoke of Stephen, it was always uplifting. How challenging this is to me, because I know that is not the case with me. But what about you? Is your character one that is of good reputation? When others speak of you, is it always encouraging, uplifting? See, that's what Christ wants to do in your life and my life as a believer in him. To form a character of good reputation in us, so that when others speak of us, it will not only be encouraging, but it will also bring a blessing to those who hear. And Stephen was a man of good reputation. Thank God he has not finished with us. He's still at work to transform us and make us people of good reputation. Well, the next five character traits of Stephen's life all begin with the word full. F-U-L-L. The Greek word for full is pleris, which means to be filled or full of something. When it is used of people, it mostly means full of a power or gift or feeling or characteristic quality. And actually, that is what I want to focus on. Stephen was full of certain characteristic qualities. And so our concern is the fullness of the characteristic quality of Stephen. So the second characteristic quality of Stephen is that, watch this, he was a man full of faith. Verse 5. Read what verse 5 says. It says, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen. Listen to how they describe him. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. But I just want us to look at his fullness of faith. This characteristic quality about him. Stephen fully took God at his word. He fully trusted God. Stephen was totally controlled by faith in God. Just read Acts chapter 7 and you will discover the real content of Stephen's full trust in God. His full faith was based on God himself, who is revealed fully in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen wholeheartedly believed that God ruled history. Acts chapter 7 verse 1 to 51. It's basically pointing to the fact that God ruled history. And that's what Stephen believed and proclaimed at his defense. Not only that Stephen fully and confidently trusted that God was sovereignly in control of his life. This confident trust led him to pray at a moment of his death. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Acts chapter 7 verse 59. And may I say to us, you cannot say that at a moment of your death if your trust in life is not fully based on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot walk through the valley of the shadow of death with such fullness of faith as Stephen had unless, please listen, unless Jesus and Jesus alone is the foundation and the fullness of your trust today. Because Stephen's personal, full, total, complete, absolute reliance, trust and dependence was on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he could say at the hour of his death, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And you cannot say that unless you have that fullness of trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Stephen's confident trust in Jesus' care for him allowed him to face death calmly. No panic. He knew he was going to meet the Lord Jesus. That was because of the fullness of faith he had in the person of Jesus Christ. While Stephen believed that Jesus died, not only that, he believed that Jesus rose. He triumphed over death and him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Furthermore, Stephen believed that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ had been exalted to the right hand of the Father. In Acts chapter 7, the Bible says of Stephen's full trust in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus in these words. It says in verse 55 and 56, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man, that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing at the right hand of God. His full trust that Jesus had been exalted to the right hand of the Father was expressed in those words. In this, Stephen's full faith was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the Bible tells us God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible tells us all the fullness of God dwells in whom? Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, if your faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be what? Full indeed. Why? You are placing your trust in the one person God was so delighted to have all his fullness dwell. Listen, you only experience what it means to be full of faith if your trust is in Jesus Christ and not in yourself, not in your riches, not in your country, not in your company, your family, your job, your ability, or your talents. Stephen placed his trust fully in the person of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible could describe his faith as foe. Sadly, many of us today who call ourselves believers could not be described as what? Full of faith. We are more full of fear than we are full of faith. We say we trust God for salvation and that we will be with God in heaven. But over and over again, we find it difficult to trust God with the concerns of our everyday life. How sad. I gave our sister Amal a hard time last Thursday at the prayer meeting. She's so scared of dogs. Even if they are cute and little, she's so scared of them. So I said to her, Sister Amal, you trust Jesus to save you from your sins and take you to heaven, but you cannot trust Jesus to protect you from these little cute dogs. She said, I believe, but... We are like the father of the demon-possessed boy who came to Jesus begging him to heal his son. Jesus said to him, everything is possible for him who believes. But the man immediately said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. That's how most of us are regarding faith. God wants us to walk by faith, that is looking to him, fixing our gaze on him, looking to the things that are unseen, but we like to walk by sight and by our feelings. Please, walking by your sight doesn't bring about fullness of faith. Living by your fickle emotions doesn't develop the fullness of faith in our hearts. Stephen didn't live like that. He focused on God. He fixed his eyes on Christ. He fully trusted God and completely concentrated on doing what God wanted him to do. Gladly, joyfully, living the consequences of his trust in God's strong hands. So today I ask you, are you full of faith? That is the character quality God wants to develop in you and in me. And he's using Stephen as an example to challenge us to desire that we be people who walk in the fullness of faith in Jesus. Well, the third characteristic quality about Stephen's life is that he was a man, listen, full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, verse 5, and later in verse 55 of chapter 7, Stephen will be described as the man who was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possessed the heart of Stephen. Stephen fully yielded all his heart to the Spirit. There was no area of his heart that the Holy Spirit did not control. Stephen fully submitted himself to the leading of the Holy Spirit and fully obeyed the Spirit. In fact, Stephen surrendered to the Holy Spirit's control over his life such that even at the moment of his death, he was still described as being full of the Holy Spirit. That really grabbed my heart. In verse 55 of chapter 7, the Bible says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. In other words, Stephen always walked in the fullness of the Spirit, even to the moment of death. And that challenged me. Could it be said of me that at the moment of my death, I was so full of the Holy Spirit? Or will it be said, I was so full of bitterness, of anger, of resentment? What a challenge Stephen's life is to me personally. Well, even though we as believers, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or we as believers are to be filled with the Spirit and be full of the Spirit, you know what? Yet we are so filled with and full of what? Self. We are to be filled and full of the Spirit, but we are filled with and full of self. But that was not the case with Stephen. He was filled with the Spirit and he was full of the Spirit. Now, here is an important question of application for us. Is it possible for you and I, as believers today, to walk in the fullness of this Holy Spirit, as Stephen did? Is it possible? Well, the answer is yes, indeed. Absolutely, it is possible for you and for me to walk what? In the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But the question is, how? How? How do I become full of the Holy Spirit? This is the character quality God wants to accomplish in my life. How can I, moment by moment, day by day, walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me give you some practical steps, which are all not original with me, but I'm learning, so I learn from others. First of all, listen to me. You have to recognize your absolute need for the presence and power of the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you must recognize your absolute need of Him in your life. If you are not deeply aware of your desperate need of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, how in the world, listen, how in the world can you walk in the fullness of the Spirit? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. So the first practical step you and I need to take as believers to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit is the recognition of our absolute, desperate, moment-by-moment need of the Spirit's presence in our lives. Well, there are those who trust in their looks. I look good. More of our people tell me I'm pretty. I'm handsome. Do I really need the Holy Spirit to go on in life? Yes, you do. Your looks are here today, but believe me, tomorrow they will be gone. What are you going to do then? Others trust in their skills, their talents and abilities and jobs, so they don't really see their need for the Spirit in their lives on moment-by-moment basis. But I tell you, your skills, your talents, your abilities will all fade away. Your job security can be taken away in a moment. What then are you going to do? If you are a believer, and if you want to become all that God wants you to be, you need, first of all, to express your need for the Spirit's fullness in your life, moment by moment, day by day. How can I walk in the fullness of the Spirit? Well, the second thing, or second practical step, you and I need to take is that you must have a strong desire to be filled with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask this question. How many of us just this past week specifically expressed to God our desire to be filled with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Show by hands. We have, listen, we have expressed all kinds of desires to God this past week. But the desire to be filled with all the fullness of the Spirit was not one of them. It was not a top on the list. How can we be filled with the fullness of the Spirit then? How can we walk in the fullness of the Spirit like Stephen did? Please listen. This is God's own desire for your life as a believer. In other words, it is God's will for you and for me to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says there, God's own will for us walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Let me just begin from verse 15 of chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And that is a present imperative. It says, continually be filled with the Spirit. Because God's desire is to build a character in your life and my life as people who are full of the Spirit, walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Please listen, it is not enough for us to recognize our absolute need for the presence and power of the person of the Holy Spirit. We must also have a strong desire to be filled with the fullness of the Spirit so as to experience His fullness in our lives on moment-by-moment basis. I believe Stephen constantly expressed his need for the Spirit's fullness in his life and desired daily to walk in His fullness. Therefore, the Bible says he was so full of the Spirit and so repeatedly described him as being full of the Spirit. The only other person in the Bible described as being full of the Spirit was the Lord Jesus. But here we have Stephen being described in glowing terms similar to the Lord Jesus. How do I, as a believer, experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit? The third practical step is this. Listen, you and I must be willing to repent of our sins. How can we walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit if we are not willing to confess, to repent, and forsake our sins? The Bible makes it clear to us that the Holy Spirit, as a person, is deeply grieved by our sins. So once we grieve Him by our sins, we cannot walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Sin must be dealt with in order for us to walk in the fullness. Please turn again to Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible speaks of our grieving of the Spirit and mentions the sins we commit to grieve the Spirit, and that prevents us from walking in the fullness of the Spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And here is the word God wants us to hear. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And then He lists again other sins that we must get rid of. "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So, if we want to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, we must not allow sin to take root in our hearts. By confessing our sins, repenting of them, forsaking them, and thanking God for His forgiveness based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can move on and experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How do I walk in the fullness of the Spirit? The fourth practical step is this. You must choose. Listen, we are coming to the most crucial point. You must choose to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit if ever you are going to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. This, I believe, is the bottom line of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I must choose to walk surrendered to the control of the Holy Spirit. Listen, fullness means total control of the Holy Spirit over my life. If you want to define fullness, define it simply as total control of the Holy Spirit over my life, every area of my life. That is when fullness occurs in your life. I must choose to walk in voluntary submission to the person of the Holy Spirit. Stephen chose to walk in submission to the Spirit, so much so that he was so full of Him. But his experience can be yours, and it can be mine. How? By giving over the full control of our lives to the person of the Holy Spirit, who lives on the inside of us and is willing to guide us, to teach us, to convict us of our sins, as well as comfort us. Please listen to me. It is one thing to be talented. It is altogether another thing to be totally yielded to the Holy Spirit. It is one thing To be skillful, it is altogether another thing to be full of the Spirit. Stephen was not satisfied with people's praise of him as being talented, gifted, and skillful. Rather, he found his satisfaction in life by being totally yielded to the Holy Spirit, yielding every area of his life to the Spirit's control, and so being full of the Spirit. Again, I say, this is the bottom line of walking in the fullness of the Spirit. Totally, completely, fully yielding my life, every area of my life to the Spirit results in what? Fullness of walking in the Spirit. Fifth step. How can I, as a believer, walk in the fullness of the Spirit? Listen, this one is so simple. I must believe that He is able to make me walk. The Holy Spirit is able to make me walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Simply believe. Simply trust. Don't wait for some special feeling to come upon you. Listen, even if that special feeling comes upon you, it won't last. What are you going to do then when your feelings fade away? What are you going to do when your emotional tank runs empty, becomes empty? What are you going to do then? Wait years for another special goosebump feelings to come upon you? My friend, you'll be wasting years of learning how to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Simply believe, simply trust that the Holy Spirit is able to make you walk in His fullness. It is His desire for your life and for my life. Stephen believed wholeheartedly that the Holy Spirit was able to lead him to experience what it meant to walk, being full of the Spirit. Now the question is, how long can you as a believer walk in the fullness of the Spirit? Well, the answer is simply this. As long as you are willing to submit to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life, both in the small and the big things of life, big decisions of life, you can walk in the fullness of the Spirit. It's as simple as that. As long as you are willing to submit to the Holy Spirit, His leading in every area of your life, you'll be described as a man or a woman full of the Spirit. As long as you are willing to surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit, you will experience what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. Stephen fully yielded his life to the control of the Spirit right to the end of his life. The Bible tells us, just before he was dragged out of the city to be stoned to death, Stephen was full of the Spirit, looking up to heaven and seeing what? The glory of God. That is what God desires for you and for me, to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Now the fourth characteristic quality revealed about Stephen's life is that, watch this, he was a man full of wisdom. Verse 3, when the apostles laid out the requirements for those to be chosen, said, this man must be what? Full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Stephen was full of God's wisdom. He sought the fullness of God's wisdom in his life. He knew that the wisdom of man is what? Foolishness to God. Therefore, he did not boast in man's wisdom. Rather, he boasted in the wisdom of God, freely given to him by the Spirit of wisdom. He saw and interpreted life, listen, through the eyes of God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. He evaluated life based on the fullness of God's wisdom in him. And so the question to you and to me is that how it is in our lives as believers? Do we also evaluate the circumstances and situations in our lives and in the lives of others based on the fullness of God's wisdom in us? Which the Bible says, first of all, is pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. That was the kind of wisdom Stephen operated with. Stephen was so full of the Spirit's wisdom that he didn't lean on his own understanding as we do so often. May I say to us, if you are full of wisdom, God's wisdom, you will not lean on your own understanding. You will hate your own puny knowledge. That was what Stephen did in his life. He was so full of the wisdom of God that he hated his puny little understanding. I'm not saying throw your common sense away. I'm simply saying if you are full of the Spirit, you will not boast of your little knowledge. When I was in seminary, I came up with this: man knows very little, yet boasts so much. I saw myself in that light, knowing so little, boasting so much with the little knowledge we have. Well, the fifth character trait of Stephen's life is that Stephen was a man full of grace. Verse 8, a man full of grace and power. Stephen's life was marked not only with the fullness of wisdom, but also the fullness of grace, God's grace. Now, here is something I want to set before you. If somebody is wise, what is one of the dangers in his life?
Self-confidence.
Mm-hmm. Pride.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been so easy for a man full of wisdom to be full of pride. But here the Bible tells us that was not the case in Stephen's life. He was full of wisdom, but what? Full of grace. In other words, it is one thing to be gifted. It is altogether another thing to be gracious and godly. So the phrase full of God's grace here actually is capable of bearing the double sense of enjoying God's favor and of being gracious toward others. Please listen to me. Stephen allowed God to pour out his grace into his life. And then he in turn allowed that grace, listen, to flow through him to impact the lives of others. Perhaps I believe that was one reason the church selected him to minister to widows. Ministering to widows, people who have lost their husbands, who may be emotionally fragile, you need somebody who operates in grace to minister to those people. If you have somebody who is full of pride, he cannot minister to fragile old widows who were still hurting from the loss of their husbands. Stephen had spiritual charm and winsomeness about him because he was full of grace. And Stephen could be gracious even at a point of death because of his confident trust in God. Stephen was even gracious toward those who tortured him and threw stones at him till he died, like the Lord Jesus himself did when he was dying on the cross for our sins. Stephen prayed for the forgiveness of his killers as their stones crushed out his life. This could only be done by a man full of grace. How could I pray for those who are killing me? Father, forgive them. Could only be because I have experienced God's grace and want others to experience it. But as a man full of grace, Stephen never failed to point out his persecutors' rebellion and resistance against God. He nevertheless spoke of their resistance of the Holy Spirit and their rebellion against God. So don't think that being gracious towards people means that you only say nice things to them. Stephen did not hesitate to declare to his killers what, according to our standards, is not nice to say to a person. He told them, "You people, stiff-necked people, rebelling, resisting the Holy Spirit." He was pointing them to grace so that they can come and experience that grace. So now the question is, how can you and I walk in the fullness of grace as Stephen did. How can you as a believer, how can I as a believer walk in the fullness of grace? Listen, the only way you and I as believers can walk in the fullness of grace is by dying to self. Dying to your sinful self. If you are so consumed looking out for your own interest, you have little time and thought to completely abandon yourself and experience the grace Stephen experienced. If I'm so focused on myself, there is no way God's grace will be experienced by me, and therefore there is no way God's grace can flow out of me to impact others. Stephen was a man who completely abandoned himself, died to his sinful self, and so God was so pleased to pour out his grace. And as that grace was overflowing in Stephen's life, it spilled out. The widows experienced that grace. Even his killers experienced that grace. The apostles experienced that grace. Please listen. God's amazing grace is available for you today. Not only to be saved from your sins, but to be full of grace in his presence and in the presence of others. Now, will you please note the sixth and final character trait of Stephen? The Bible says he was a man full of power. The Bible is not talking here of man's power and strength. Rather, it is speaking here of what? God's power. Stephen walked in the fullness of God's power. Remember, the Lord Jesus promised his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So being full of power is simply a direct result of being what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the character of Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of God's grace, full of power, could be summed up in these words: the man filled with the fullness of God. Listen, if God were to write about the character of your life, in my life, will it be in this voice, the man or woman filled up to all the fullness of God? Actually, this is what God desires for every believer in Jesus Christ. How do I know that? I know that because the Bible says so. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, the last reading in Ephesians. I'll begin from verse 14 of chapter 3, one of the glorious prayers Paul was led by the Spirit to make. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Now, as I read this, check almost all the characteristics described about Stephen as here. That he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In other words, God is concerned about your heart, your character, than any other thing. So that Christ may dwell in your heart through what? Faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be, listen now, you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Before this prayer was lifted up to God, Stephen experienced its full reality. Please listen to me. If you are not filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, then you are full with something else. And do you know what that something else is? You are full of self. You are full of fear. You are full of bitterness. You are full of resentment. You are full of critical and complaining spirit. Bottom line, you are full of pride. Is that how you want your character to be described before God? His goal is to conform you into Christ-likeness. Well, the second and final point of my message has to do with Stephen's charismatic works. Verse 8b, the Bible describes his charismatic works. Being full of the Holy Spirit and full of power, Stephen, we are told, the Bible says, he was performing what? Great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Actually, the sense of the verb used there indicates that Stephen was continually performing those charismatic works of the Spirit. And if you please, listen to me. Stephen was a true charismatic. His godly and gracious character was backed by the charismatic works of the Holy Spirit through him. And I want you to note two things as we draw to conclusion of this message. Please notice that we are not told, listen, what the great wonders and miraculous signs were. The Holy Spirit didn't give permission to Dr. Luke to list in detail the wonders Stephen was enabled to perform among the people. God didn't tell us all that the Spirit did or performed through Stephen. Why? Well, God had a specific purpose for that. And I think God's purpose is to turn our attention away from the mighty accomplishments of Stephen to what? To his manner of life, which was more important to God. And I believe if God had given us the detailed list of all he did through Stephen, we might be tempted to worship Stephen rather than God himself. We might be tempted to give Stephen the glory and the credit rather than give them all to God and God alone. Oh, how wise is our God. Remember, the Lord Jesus himself did so many things. But did the Bible write all of them for us? What he wrote for us was his life and his character of sacrifice. Because that was more important to God than if he listed all the people he healed. The glory and the credit for all the unknown charismatic works he did through Stephen belong to God. To God be the glory, great things he has done through Stephen. If Stephen were here with us this morning, he would tell us, God did these mighty deeds through me, and to him alone I give the glory. And secondly, please note that God does not tell us when these manifestations of divine power began in the ministry of Stephen. Were they performed before or after he was selected to serve tables? Many have insisted that they were a direct result of the laying on of the apostles' hands, though I believe it is possible that these acts characterized his ministry even before that. So, would your life be described as a man or a woman filled with all the fullness of God, or will it be described as one full of self-importance? God's goal is to conform you as a believer into the image of Jesus Christ. He has set an example in Stephen before us that we may desire that. Shall we pray? Father, I just want to thank you for this message you have given to us. I thank you that your word is active and living, sharper than any two-edged sword, capable of piercing to the division of spirit and soul, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart from afar. Lord, I thank you that you have, once again, through your word, revealed to us what is more important to you about our lives. Lord, sometimes I'm tempted to feel like if I have more ministry opportunities, then my life will be meaningful. If I have this career well set before me, then my life will be meaningful. If I have more skills, more talents, then my life will be meaningful. Lord, you have shown today that those are not the things that you treasure most about our lives. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will impress deeply into our hearts the single most important truth you have revealed to us, that our character, our manner of life is more important to you than any other thing about our lives. And Father, I praise you for Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace, full of wisdom, full of power, a man of good reputation. Oh God, I pray that you work these character qualities, character traits in our lives, because it is your goal that we too be full of faith. You don't want us to walk around depressed, downcast, discouraged, full of doubt. You want us to walk strong in faith, perfect, growing faith. Lord, forgive me, forgive us for not desiring these things to be part of our lives. We have expressed other desires, but not these desires. Oh God, bring them from this day forth to the forefront of our hearts, of our minds, that we may continually set them before you and ask you to accomplish these things in each of our character, that we may be a better witness for the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for anyone who does not believe in you hearing this message here or later, I pray that your Spirit will convict that person that career is not important, that jobs are not what make life meaningful, that our talents and skills are not what make the difference in our eternal destiny, but a life of relating to you, a life of knowing you, and allowing you to shape and mold our character. Lord, use this message the way you choose. And now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen.